Fabulous. Thank you for your lovely introduction and your warmth. Oh, you're such a warm, loving church. I appreciate that. I've had a few people say this morning, we're really looking forward to hearing from you. I'm thinking I'm talking about grief, you know, that you're here, you're looking forward, but I feel support with that. And I'm so glad that you're here. You know, it can be quite something that you want to avoid, especially if you've recently suffered a loss and you sort of want to stay away from that. But I know there's ones here that have pushed through to be here today, and I really commend that. And I really believe that God wants to speak something that will help you today and really bring some understanding. Why don't we just pray as we begin this morning? Because I know God's here. I know He loves us and He wants to touch us and help us this morning. Oh God, we thank you, Jesus. I thank you, God, that you love each and every one. Oh, God, you gave your son Jesus Christ because you love us so much. You want us to be free. You want us to live life to the full. You want to comfort us when we mourn. God, you bottle every tear, Lord, that we shed. You're a loving, caring God. We pray today, God, that you would touch lives. Lord, that you bring healing, even as I'm speaking this morning, into hearts that are broken, that are sorrowful, that have felt loss in so many different ways. God, I thank you, Jesus, that your presence comes and you pour out upon us, Jesus. Lord, we feel loved. We feel your peace, Jesus. Lord, release that upon us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. You may be seated. Thank you, Ben. You've done an incredible job this morning. Appreciate you bringing us into the presence of God. Yeah, come on, put your hands together for our great worship team. Well, it can be a little bit of a delicate subject, this grief, good grief, but we're going to tackle it today because we've tackled a few issues this month and they're sort of all related. You know, stress, dealing with stress that can lead to anxiety. Then we talked about dealing with anxiety. If you're stressed, you can become anxious. If you're anxious, you can become angry. And we dealt with anger management last week. If you're angry, that can lead to relationship breakdown or things going wrong and can lead to grief ultimately. So it's sort of like almost a little bit of a series compounding together. But we have a bit of a fascination with death, don't we, in our society? You know, like you drive past an accident on the road or you see something and you're sort of like looking like this. You're trying not to, but it's called a rubbernecker. And you just sort of want to see what's going on. It's like, you know, we watch the news. It's present in our world. There's things that are happening all the time. And it's just in our face. We don't talk about it too much, especially in church, unless we're attending a funeral. But we're going to go there today. Are you ready, willing to go there with me this morning? I know there's ones here that have recently gone through a loss, and whether it be the loss of a person, whether it be the loss of something else in your life, we're going to just tackle different things because, you know, I hear stories of what people face and what they go through, and, you know, my heart just breaks for people. I just think, the tragedy, the trauma, just the stuff that is dealt with in the world. Today, I really want to give permission to grieve. Permission to grieve, because it's a good process, it's a normal process, and it's something that we need to go through in terms of coming to healing. There'll be people here who have never suffered a loss, never lost anything of major importance or someone important in their life, but hey, it's inevitable in our life that we're going to go through that at some stage. We all, you know, we almost expect our grandparents to die at some point or our parents, but doesn't make it any less easy when they do. There's other unexpected, sudden things, and we're all going to experience grief at some point. I grew up and in a loving Christian home, and, you know, apart from the odd rabbit here and there that'd been taken by foxes, I hadn't really experienced much grief in my life. Living here on the coast in my 20s, you know, living the dream, I'm married, I've got two kids, and working as a midwife, and John had a business. We'd taken on the senior pastor role of this church. And, you know, I did grow up in a Christian family. We had a close-knit family. And my parents and John's parents lived down here on the coast. And when I was 27, Life was full. You've just got all these different things that you're managing. And my parents and John's parents were part of this church, and we'd see them frequently, probably a few times a week, often for babysitting, as any parent would know. Their parents come in handy for that type of thing. One day, we're towards the end of a year, we're getting ready to go away on a holiday. We went to Australia Zoo for the day, took the two boys, and we're packing that night. I get a phone call from my mum. I knew my dad had been a little bit sick during the weekend, and she'd taken him to the doctor. They'd said, it's a chest infection, you need to be on antibiotics, and, you know, it should improve. And my mum rang me and she said, oh, he's, you know, he come home, he climbed a few flights of stairs, he's just looking pretty sick. And I said, oh, okay, see how we go. Take the medication, whatever. I'm, nursing background, so she's asking me my advice. And so an hour goes by and she rings up, says, I'm a bit worried about him. You know, he's not looking too good. And I said, okay, look, I'll just have a break from my packing here right now. I'll just pop over. They lived in Mooloolaba. We were in Badram at the time. I'll drive over there and I'll just, suss it out. So I quickly drove over there. I get there and there's an ambulance in the driveway. And your heart sort of like starts sinking a little bit. I sort of park the car. The paramedics are around unpacking their stuff. And I said, are you here for Ray Grant? That's my dad's name. And they said, I don't know. We're here for a cardiac arrest. And that wasn't good. I'm just starting to freak out, but just start racing. I race upstairs. My dad's there. He's on the bed. He's not responsive at all. I've got a bit of nursing background. I've never actually put CPR into process on anybody. But I start rolling him on his side, checking his pulse, checking for breathing. There's nothing. Eventually, the paramedics get into the room. They pop him on the bed. One starts setting up the bag. The other starts, setting up the monitor. I said, I know CPR. And they said, okay, if you can start compressions. Here I am doing CPR on my own dad. And a few minutes later, another set of paramedics come and they said, okay, we'll take over now. My mum had rang John. He came over. We sat there in the lounge room for another 15 minutes until they came out and they said, I'm sorry, there's nothing we could do. He's gone. And that was my first exposure to grief. Sudden, unexpected, on my 67-year-old father that I just talked to couple of days before, and to sit there and go, now what do we do? Oh, we have to ring family. We have to ring and get a doctor to come in. We're, just stepping into this unfamiliar territory, and this is where grief started in a real way for me. And I know that I'm not alone in that. I know there's many people here that have also stepped into that world of grief. It wasn't like my world fell apart, but it was like the stuffing got knocked out of me. It was just, I love my dad and he loved me and we had a good relationship. And so navigating through this very unfamiliar process, I know what it's like to ask, is this normal? Like, is what I'm experiencing, is what I'm feeling, is that normal? I don't know. There wasn't Google in those days where you could just look it up and go, feeling like that, is that okay? Am I supposed to be feeling like this? Of course, grieving is not just from the loss of a parent or someone close to you. There's many tragic and unexpected deaths. There's relationship breakdown, and that's including but not restricted to marriage. There's friendships that are lost. There's relationships with family members that you don't talk to for 20, 30 years. I've heard stories. It's like that's a loss. That's grieving. There's betrayal, there's moving, whether it be a house or a city or a country. It's grieving that. It's losing a job or a position, loss of any sort, losing a pet, something of value. It's sickness, loss of health, there's disability, an accident causes grief, grief of bullying, abuse, the loss of a dream. That can cause such grief in your heart. It can be your parents get divorced and that's a loss of a dream. It's like this close-knit family that you thought you were going to have. You don't have it anymore. It affects us all. Ecclesiastes 3 says, there is a season for everything. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to heal, a time to cry, a time to mourn, a time to break down. Today, I want to give you permission to grieve. I want to help you understand the emotion of grief. It's one of the most difficult emotions that we encounter. We do have preconceived ideas of grief. As I did that, I thought it was a lot of crying, a lot of sadness. There's so much more to it than that. If you've never been through it before, there's no knowing what to expect, what's going to happen next, what is normal. Understanding the process is a start. It's just really for whether you yourself are walking through that or whether you're supporting somebody who is. And I want to talk about what a person experiences when they have a loss. And it's the five stages of grief. Some of you might be familiar with it. Just want to break it down today, what they look like and how we can handle life throughout it. It's a largely accepted model. There are different modifications of it, but we're going to go with this today. So first of all, I'm just going to write these up here so that we can see them clearly. We're talking about grief today. The first one is denial. This is like a state of shock or numbness or just total disbelief. You just don't think it's real. You're sort of waiting for them to say, oh, actually, we made a mistake. Oh, his heart suddenly started beating and things are going to be okay again. It's a protective mechanism for us that only lets in as much as we can handle because we go into denial. It's like a little shutdown for us and it helps us to survive the loss. So as sort of a this can't be happening to me sort of a vibe. The second one is anger. Why is this happening? Who is to blame? There's got to be someone that we can point our finger to or ourselves even. We're angry at ourselves. It was my fault. Why did I let that happen? It can be directed at other people, just anger in dread. You just get angry without sort of warning. It can be directed at your family. It can be directed at friends. It can be directed at a doctor. I know it was for me. I was angry at the doctor because he hadn't helped him that day. For my dad, it's like, why didn't you put him into hospital? That could have been prevented. I was angry at the doctor because he came that night to sign off the death certificate and he said, oh, it's a little bit sad, I guess. It's like, slap, no, hold back. Oh, I'm angry at you. I'm angry at the paramedics because they were really, really slow and I was like up there in a flash and they're just, I don't know what they were doing, stuffing around. But anyway, they had to get all their stuff. I understand it. Now, at the time, I was angry. You can get angry at the one who died. I know my mum was. She was really angry at my dad. How could you leave me like this? How could you just, you know, go without saying goodbye? And you know, it's like, oh, that's not very nice. You know, you can't justify grief, right? You can get angry at God. And we heard last week about managing our anger. It's the emotion that we are most likely to manage, anger, but it's actually a necessary stage of the healing process. I'll show us how we can do that safely in a moment. Okay, the third one is bargaining. Oh, if I had to change this, if I had to do that, God, bargaining, spell it right. Did I get it right? Yeah. God, if I devote the rest of my life to helping others, can I wake up and discover it's just a bad dream? Can you bring them back? And I'm talking a lot about the loss of a person here, but you can apply it to different areas of loss in your life. Guilt. Guilt is bargaining's companion. If only we had done this. If only we had gone to the doctors earlier. If only we had stopped an accident from happening. You know, if only I had said to my mum, oh, just call an ambulance. If only I had done that. You know, you're sort of bargaining through it. It's the what ifs. And, you know, when we're talking, these aren't like nice, orderly little stages, all right? They don't just happen in order and, you know, it's nice and neat little package. It's sort of like you go in and out of one and the other and all over the place. So don't think that it's restricted to this. Okay, number four, how are we going here? Is this helping? Okay, number four. No, it's not the nicest phase. Depression. I'm too sad to do anything. We cry. We feel empty. Grief enters on a deeper level. Feels as if it will last forever. It's not a mental illness. This is depression. It's a part of grief. We often withdraw from life. We feel lonely. We may think, why go on? I'm going to come to the good parts of how to deal with this. Okay, number five is accept. acceptance. Okay, that's starting to get a little bit positive. This is accepting the reality and learning to live with it. It's not instant happiness. It's not going back to the normal and just resuming life. It's a new normal for you. It can be confused with being all right and we're okay with what happened. It's not really that. Many people want to maintain life as it was before. We can't. It's been changed forever. It looks like, what acceptance looks like, is that we have more good days than bad days, okay? It might feel like betrayal. I can't go back to having a life because that would be betraying my loved one. We move, we change, we grow, we evolve through this. And we begin to live again, but not until we have given grief its time. Grief takes time. So once we understand the stages of grief, we can tackle how best to handle them. In general, we try and avoid going through grief because we don't want to be sad. We don't want to be angry. We want to get back to normal. We actually don't have time for this right now. If anyone's lost anything just suddenly, I need to do this. I've got that to go to. I've got so much on. I don't have time to deal with my emotions right now. Have you ever experienced that? We feel like other people expect us to move on. We might feel it of ourselves. We don't actually want to face the pain or go through the emotion of it. We want to suppress. We want to lock it away in a little basket and, throw away the key and hope that we can not go there and move on it, be okay. We get annoyed at ourselves when we can't cope. Matthew 5. Verse 4, this is Jesus. He's talking on the Sermon on the Mount about the Beatitudes. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." You know, this isn't just saying that God is there to comfort us, which he is. He's saying, "Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn." So he actually wants you to mourn. He wants you to go through that process. You're blessed if you do mourn. God is there to comfort you, but we can't just shove it away. I know there's probably people here that you haven't gone through a grieving process through a time of loss, and you might start recognizing even now that I haven't done this properly. I haven't gone through these stages. It's never too late to do it. It actually is going to help you to go through experiencing those emotions and addressing them rather than just keeping it put aside. We have permission to grieve. How do we best handle grief? Okay, so denial. Understand that that is normal. Inside the body, there's chemical reactions go off. They actually release narcotic-like chemicals when something major happens, and it's they're pain-killing drugs in your body that causes like this numbness and this withdrawing sort of a thing. And that is a self-protective mechanism. You know, when you hear of a story of somebody's lost somebody or something and you just think, oh, I'd be a mess if that happened. I could never cope with that. But look at them, they're doing so well. That's because they've got these pain-killing chemicals in their body that are actually helping them to cope. And it's a God-given gift, basically. And that helps us in that first initial stage of loss. There's no specific time frame that you're going through denial or any other one of these things. So it's about being honest with yourself, honest with others, that disbelief. Just, you know, I expected to see my dad the next day. I expected to go, just that whole protection thing where you... I'd go to the beach where he always was and I'd look and I'd see all these bald heads. He was I have got a photo actually of my dad. Can we pop that up? It's when I got married and this is my dad. His name's Ray and he's a beautiful man and he was very proud that day of me. He was a good man and I miss him a lot. The bald head popped up everywhere. Every shopping centre, every beach, every walk that I went on, it's just like, oh, was that him? Oh, no, it's not. He's gone. It's just like messes with your head. I know I'm not the only one, right? at church. He was on the welcome team. And you get to church, it'd be like, oh, is he there? Oh, no, he's not there. It's like, of course he's not there. I know he's not, but it's like this protective thing. As I said earlier, God, crying helps us. I mean, it just helps our body. King David in the Bible, it said he wept a very great weeping on the death of his son, Amnon. God collects all our tears in a bottle. Psalm 56, verse 8. He's a loving father and he notices when we cry. He keeps them all, collects our tears. Keep track of all my sorrows. You've collected all my tears. Some of us, that's more than others. You've recorded each one in your book. That's because God loves us. Like, he really cares about us. Anger. How do we best handle anger? Allow yourself to be angry. Allow it. We heard last week, anger is not a sin. It's what you do with it. There's non-harmful ways to express anger. Don't bottle it up. The more that you truly feel it, the more it will begin to dissipate and the more you will heal. There's safe ways to vent our anger. Can be talking to people, safe place. Through exercise is a great way to just like vent some real anger. That also helps with the depression stage later on. Talking about it with family, friends, if not a doctor, a GP, a pastor, a counsellor, very cathartic to talk about it. Help with your anger. Journaling, writing things down, I know that was very helpful for me. Bargaining, understanding that that's normal. Again, talking about it. If you feel guilty, talk about it. It's like it takes the power out of it. We need others. We need others to help us and hold us as we go through a grieving process. Don't rush back to normal schedule or to work, or doesn't give yourself time to work through grief. Depression, give yourself permission to feel your feelings. Don't try and suppress it. If we feel depressed, we think that's so, you know, if we live in a Christian faith-filled world, we think, no, I can't be depressed. That's wrong. I need to be more positive. But this is like, it's okay. It's okay to feel sad. It's okay to feel it's not, you know, I'm not better today. It's one of the necessary steps that we go through, talking about it with people. For me, you know, one thing that I hit with my dad, because it was quite a sort of a traumatic experience that night, I kept reliving the night. And, you know, I'd go to bed at night and I'd just sort of like relive it. And because I didn't know what normal was, I'm thinking, that's okay, and I'll just go there. And it made me quite sad and mad and, you know, just really stirred me up. But I just thought, oh, that must be okay. I'm just walking through grief, whatever. And I talked to somebody about it and they said, does it bring you peace? I said, no, it doesn't at all. It stirs me up. And they said, well, it's probably best to let that go now. It's been a few months down the track and you probably don't need to relive it and analyze it all over again every single night. You probably, you know, teach yourself to stop those thoughts. And I did that over time and it just made me feel better. So talking to people, it brings the light in. Yeah, you feel sad. You want to withdraw from life and you get stressed easily. And giving yourself space is really good. Learning to say no to certain things that are going to be a stressful situation for you. You need to be patient and kind with yourself. That's really important. But not isolating yourself, because there's a difference between giving yourself space to completely withdrawing and shutting everybody out. And that's not beneficial for you long term. You get around people that are trusted and caring with you. It's a time to draw close to God. This is what really sustained me through that sad period of depression where you just, yeah, you want to withdraw. And my husband was awesome and amazing, but he can't be there for me all the time. It's not fair on him for me to put all my needs on him. I needed God. And this was a time where I felt that the Holy Spirit was my comforter. And he was there for me 24/7. And I'd open the Bible. And I wasn't doing Bible studies. I was just reading the Psalms and they were of such strength to me. God, I hide in the shelter of your wings. I feel so safe there. I just want to stay there. God just became so much closer to me. He's so accessible to us. You can talk to him anytime, anywhere. He hears our cry of grief every day reading the Psalms. God is our ever-present help in time of trouble, ever-present. He hides us in the shelter of his presence. Psalm 6, verse 6. And David, he went through a lot of grief, and he probably, God has a lot of his tears because he talks about crying a lot, can help us. I am worn out from sobbing. All night I flood my bed with weeping. This is in the Bible, okay? Drenching it with my tears. My vision is blurred by grief. My eyes are worn out because of my enemies. Go away, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord will answer my prayer. What comfort to us is the word of God and understanding that other people have gone through what we're going through, and you can draw strength from that. Permission to grieve. Number 5, acceptance. Be patient with yourself. Don't set a time frame of this is when I'm going to be moving on. It can be years before people get their life back to a meaningful level. They've lost someone very close to them. Find ways to commemorate. If you're feeling stuck, let me encourage you, see a professional, talk about it with them. They can give you some keys that can really help you in that. You can ebb in and out of acceptance. I'll tell you what really helps release you into a place of acceptance, and that's forgiveness. You know, sometimes there's stuff that has been done or said or not said or not done, and, you know, we've gone through that anger but not actually forgiven people, not forgiven ourselves, not forgiven God, and that can be a real just stop in your processing of grief, whether it be loss, whether it be a marriage, whether it be loss of any sort. If you need to forgive somebody, then let me encourage you to let go. Let go. They don't have to be saying they're sorry for you to let them, for you to forgive them. It brings such freedom into your heart, and it really helps you to walk through this place of acceptance and beyond. You know, we talked about this good grief. What is good grief? Good grief is walking through this process and not getting stuck because of unforgiveness, or not getting stuck because you're in depression and you can't move out of that because you need to talk to somebody. You need some keys to help. You don't access God as your strength and your ever-present help in time of trouble. And it becomes years and years later still in this place of depression. Good grief is taking stuff to God. He's walking through it, talking to people, not pulling away, not fully isolating. You know, the human spirit is very resilient. We're amazing people, really, what we can overcome. And through God's help, you sort of get to the other side and think, wow, if I can handle that, I can handle anything. And it creates this real strength in your own sense of personal strength. You can emerge stronger from this. Strength can stem from our greatest moments of vulnerability. It also gives us greater empathy towards others. I know for me, you know, having lost my dad in my 20s just really gave me a great understanding, not just of grief, but empathy towards people. I understand. No, it's not going to be the same way that I went through it, or, you know, if I went through another loss, it's not going to look the same again. But it gives you amazing understanding and empathy, and we learn from that. Good can come from the bad. I emerged with a closer walk with God. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So it's like we're here for each other, and every experience that we go through, it actually helps us be stronger for other people around us. Don't put that pressure on yourself if you're right fresh in this place of grief, but in time that will happen. People need love. People need empathy. People need patience, and they need understanding. And I hope that just talking through this has helped today, not just in understanding it so we can walk through it ourselves, but so that you can help other people. Can I invite the band up right now, worship team, as we come to a close? We're tackling grief today. Can be a bit of an emotional roller coaster, can be ups and downs. But really, what I want you to remember is there's permission to grieve. And if you're in that right now, be kind to yourself. If there's something in your past, then be courageous and face that. Allow it. The best support system is God. He understands pain and grief. Gave his son Jesus Christ. He died in front of God's own eyes and just was betrayed, and God felt that pain. He felt that pain. He knows what pain is. He knows what it's like to lose something. The hope that we have in God, you know, one day there'll be a new heaven, there'll be a new earth. And in Revelations 21 verse 4, it says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these are gone forever. Why don't we pray now as we just come to a close? Lord Jesus, God, I thank you that you understand us, that you want to help us. You want us to grieve. You want us to feel the love of God through that. Jesus, right now, I just pray for everybody in this place. I thank you that you pour out your love afresh, Jesus, onto hearts that are hurting, hearts that are broken. Lord, where there's been pain, where there's been loss, Jesus, Lord, right now, I just pray, Lord, that you would just breathe afresh. God, pour out your spirit on us, God. We need you. Oh, God, your love, your unconditional love, Jesus. We need it, Lord. Release it now into this place. Oh, God, you bring healing even right now, Jesus. Oh, God, you just pour out peace. Peace on hearts that are troubled, that are hurting. Oh, God, bring comfort. Bring comfort to us, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are the comforter. We turn to you. Lord, and we forgive those in our past, God. Lord, that have hurt us. Lord, that have caused wrongs in our life, Jesus. God, give us the courage to forgive today. Let there be freedom that comes through that decision, Jesus, that you lift off just heaviness, Lord God, burdens, Jesus. Lord, because we make a decision to forgive, Lord, and to walk into freedom. Jesus, I thank you. Lord, you touch lives here today, God. Thank you for giving us understanding. Thank you, Lord. Amen.